Well, good afternoon, everyone. As you mentioned, my name is Joseph Oakes. I'm a postdoc at Virginia Tech with Dr. Maria Belodin, and we're stationed at the Tidewater Ag Research and Extension Center, which is located in Suffolk, Virginia. For those of you who don't know, that's in the southeastern part of the state, just above the North Carolina-Virginia border. And what we do there, we conduct a multi-state peanut variety test called the PVQE, and basically what that is, the peanut variety and quality evaluation. And we test new peanut varieties that come out of North Carolina and Virginia. We test those across three states, Virginia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. And we look at, you know, like I mentioned, new varieties that come from the breeders that are developed there in North Carolina and Virginia. And it's kind of a unique area. It's called the Virginia-Carolina region, where the majority of the peanuts are grown. The majority of the peanuts in North Carolina are grown in the northeastern part of the state, up near the Virginia border. And our peanuts in Virginia, again, the majority of those are grown in the southeastern part of the state. So a lot of our peanuts in the region are grown on along that North Carolina Virginia border. And we've had kind of a difference of opinion in the last few years of our seeding rates between the breeders, our EVQE program, and some growers in the area. And our seeding rates between these three groups, they generally vary anywhere between 1.2 to 6 seeds per foot. The breeders are generally planting around 1 to 2 seeds per foot at a very low rate. In our multi-state EVQE test, we're generally planting around 3 to 4 seeds per row foot, and then growers have generally stepped that rate up to around 5 to 6 seeds per row foot. And that's in Virginia and in North Carolina as well. Uniformly emerged stand of 3 to 4 plants per foot is essential to control tomato spotted wilt virus. This has been done for years, cited in our Virginia peanut production guide, and a lot of different researchers have seen that. But that's kind of a standard. But as I mentioned, that there is that difference in eating rates among those three groups. So that kind of led us to look at a new study examining the influence of plant population and seeding rate on those peanut varieties that are grown in North Carolina and Virginia. And what we did, we established or we examined 9 varieties, 3 commercial varieties, 1 newer variety that's used fairly standard among the majority of the growers in the area, and then 2 older varieties as well. And we also have 6 breeding lines in there as well that come from the North Carolina State Peanut Breeding Program. This study is right now in the middle of a 2-year study. We did it last year and this year there in Suffolk, Virginia at the Tidewater Agriculture Research and Extension Center. We had 4 seeding rates from 1.2 to 8.6 seeds per foot. The 8.6 seeds per foot is a very high end. That 1.2, the 3.0, and the 5.6, that's kind of those three ranges I mentioned that those three groups try to grow. And this corresponds around 10 inches, 4 inches, 2 inches, and 1.2 inches apart. And as I mentioned, we had 9 varieties with those 4 seeding rates, so that's 36 treatments. We had a randomized complete block design, and then what we did in August, the peanuts were generally planted late April, 1st of May. Then in August, when disease started to become present, we went through and looked at tomato spotted wilt and sclerotinia blight, and we took disease ratings on those plots in August for tomato spotted wilt and sclerotinia blight to see how the different seeding rates corresponded to our disease incidences. And then we also looked at yield and value as well as grade factors such as extra large kernels, different things like that, that growers either get an incentive for or get penalized for when they sell the peanuts. So this is just an aerial photo of the test that this was done this year, and you can see the different seeding rates there in some areas, and you see some of the yellow spots in the field where tomato spotted wilt had taken over. We're not doing any analysis of this photo. It's just a quick photo to see what's going on there. So let's jump right into some of the results. We'll look at 2014 first, and I'll go ahead and tell you up front, 2015 this year, we do not have any of our yield or grade data yet, as the plots were just harvested a few weeks ago. So we have not been able to analyze that data or get that back yet. So let's look at our results in 2014, looking at tomato spotted wilt and sclerotinia blight. If you look, tomato spotted wilt for variety and population, you see significant main effects. You also see the same with sclerotinia blight, significant main effects for variety and population. There is no interaction between variety and population. Moving over to yield, again, we see the variety and population main effect, as well as for value, you see a variety and population main effect. However, there was no variety or population interactions for yield and value. Let's move down to 2015, which is this current year that we just harvested. Looking at tomato spotted wilt this year, there was no variety main effect. However, there was a population main effect this year. Sclerotinia blight had the exact opposite. We did see a variety main effect. However, there was no population main effect this year. And again, there was no significant interactions between varieties and populations, which we were kind of hoping to see, but we did not. So let's look at some of the results for tomato spotted wilt. This is at Suffolk in 2014, this past year. And you see kind of a stepwise, a stair step down. As you increase population, your tomato spotted wilt incidence goes down. We see a significant drop between the 1.2 and the 3.0 seeds per foot, and then at your 5.6 and your 8.6 seeds per foot, there is no difference between those two, but they do have the lowest incidence of tomato spotted wilt. Moving on to variety, as I mentioned, we were mainly looking to see if there were any interactions between variety and population, which there was not. I mean, we're not really trying to look at the varieties because we already know what a lot of those varieties, their disease pressure is. But we see that some of our well-established varieties did better in regards to tomato spotted wilt. Can't get this mouse to work. If you do look on the far left bar, the D, the blue bar there, that's Bailey. That's one of our varieties that most growers in the region grow, and that does have one of the lowest rates of tomato spotted wilt virus. Moving on to this year, Suffolk in 2015, again, with population, you're seeing that same step down approach. Again, with your highest seeding rate, your lowest seeding rate, having the highest incidence of tomato spotted wilt, then it drops down as you increase seeding rate. Again, there was no significant difference between the 1.2 and the 3.0 seeds per foot, and no difference between our 5.6 and 8.6 seeds per foot, but those two lowest populations did, or excuse me, those two higher populations again had the lowest incidence of tomato spotted wilt virus. And then with varieties, we see some of the same aim effects. Some of our more well-established varieties have the lowest rate of tomato spotted wilt, while some of our newer breeding lines still have some disease there with tomato spotted wilt that are significantly higher than our more well-established varieties. Now let's look at a sclerotinia blight, which is another a disease along with tomato spotted wilt that can impact our yields, or our peanut yields there in Virginia. And you see the opposite effect. As you increase seeding rate, your rate of sclerotinia blight goes up, but there's not a significant difference among your first three seeding rates. So between your 1.2 and your 5.6 seeds per foot, there was no significant difference between those two. Our 8.6, our highest seeding rate, again, did have the highest amount of sclerotinia blight present there in those plots. But again, corresponding to, we saw our 5.6 seeds per foot was our best seeding rate for tomato spotted wilt, and we're kind of seeing that same trend here with sclerotinia blight, as our 5.6 is not significantly higher than and the two lowest seeding rates. Again, as I mentioned, there was no variety by population interactions, so we just had the variety main effects. That's why I just have the varieties listed here, and you can see again one of our good varieties, Bailey, again, there on the far left column, has the lowest amount of sclerotinia blight. And again, in 2015, as I mentioned, there was no significant difference among the population for sclerotinia blight. Again, but you are seeing the same step-up approach, but there's no significant difference between those four populations. Now let's move on to yield, which is kind of what we're most growers and what we're interested in, to see how yield, how does that disease pressure correspond to yield. And we see our two highest yielding seeding rates are where, again, we saw our two seeding rates that had the lowest amount of tomato spotted wilt, your 5.6 and your 8.6 seeds per row foot. There was no significant difference between those two, and they had your highest yield around almost 6,000 pounds per acre yield. Again, as we saw before, there was no variety by treatment interactions. There was just a variety main effect, so there was not that interaction that we were hoping to see. But you see that there was not a lot of difference among our varieties there at all. And now we're going to look at value and dollars per acre, and that's based on a lot of our grade factors, what the growers actually getting paid in dollars per acre. And again, you see our two highest seeding rates of 5.6 and 8.6 have the two highest values. So in conclusions, we see that an increase in seeding rate often decreases the tomato spotted wilt pressure, but it increases the sclerotinia blight pressure. Now, why is that? Well, as has been seen by a lot of different peanut studies, is that an increased plant population, it often reduces thrips pressure. As you increase your population, your thrips pressure goes down. Thrips are a vector for tomato spotted wilt virus, and that's why that increased population decreases our tomato spotted wilt. And as we saw both years, the increase in sclerotinia blight is often not significant. Even though it does increase with increased populations, it is not significant there. So we'll say that right now our conclusion for these 2 years of data is that 5.6 seeds per foot is the ideal seeding rate for both tomato spotted wilt and sclerotinia blight, and it also provides the highest yield and value. As we said, there was no difference between the 5.6 and the 8.6 seeds per foot. So instead of planting at that higher rate, since there's no difference in yield or value between those two, we'll keep our recommendations that 5.6 is the ideal seeding rate for disease and yield and value. And as we said over several times, there was no variety by population interaction, but the variety Bailey did consistently have the lowest amounts of tomato spotted wilt and sclerotinia blight, and it often had the highest yield and value. So with that, I'd like to thank my collaborators, Dr. Maria Bellota, and several of our technical staff here. And with that, I'll be happy to take any questions that you might have if we have time. So I don't know what we do.